Sunday, you'll be given an opportunity, what resources, what gifts he's given to you in your life, and then to decide if you want to pledge for the following year some amount of money that you can put on a pledge card and put in the center. We've done this several years in a row, and I've really enjoyed it myself. I think it's been good for me to take a stock and an evaluation of all the many blessings that God has given me, and to look and to see what I'm going to then return to him. And we talked several years, for the last several years actually, we've talked about the amount of money doesn't really matter. What really does matter is that we spend the time looking at what God is giving us and spend time with God praying, and then perhaps looking at what we should give. And there's three words. One is proportional. What percentage or what proportion of what God's given me am I going to return back to him? And then the second one is that it be sacrificial, that it is something that I know that I'm giving to him. There is a change or there is something in my life that I must regulate so that I can do what I promised to God that I'm going to do. And the third thing, that it be joyful. Of course, joyful is always the tough one, right? Because it's like, how can I be joyful about this? But I've talked to so many people that have said, I'm going to give sacrificially and proportionally, and they've shared story after story with me about how it has been a joyful thing when they do that. So I pray over the next 2 weeks that you consider that and that you look at what God has blessed you. But today we're going to start in a sermon series. You know, God talked a lot about money. As a matter of fact, there have been those that have said that if you look at all the parables and everything that God talks about, he talks about money more than anything else. And God does talk about stewards. And since we're talking about stewardship, I thought it would be a great idea to just do a quick 3-week sermon series that I would look through the Bible and I would pull out three stories about stewards. So today, we're going to talk about the lesson that we read this morning, the parable of the talents. Next week, we're going to be talking about probably the most difficult parable there is in all of Scripture. It's the parable of the shrewd manager. And that will be a challenging parable, but I think you'll get a lot out of that. And then the following week, the parable of the unforgiving servant. So those are the three parables that we're going to look at. But today, we're looking at the parable of the talent. So you all know about this story, right? We read it this morning. Guy goes away, 5 talents to 1, 2 talents to 1, 1 to the other. He comes back, the 5 turns it into 10, the 2 turns it into 2, and the 1 buries it in the ground and doesn't do anything with it. And what does the master do? He says, you slothful and wicked servant, I gave you these talents. You should have done something with them. And you didn't. And so he casts them into everlasting fire and pit. And of course, it's a parable, so it's important for us to understand that's a pretty serious thing. But as I look at this parable this morning, I see 3 issues. And I just want to share those 3 issues with you this morning, all right? So the first is this. God does not give out talents equally. God does not give out his talents. All the other high school kids, and you said, why couldn't I have that talent, Lord? Why did you give that talent to that person and not to me? You know what you're talking about, right? You've all experienced this in your life. God gives you this, and you're not content with this because you want what somebody else has. My friends, that is a sin. You should be content with the talents that God gives you. That's actually a major theme in the Bible. If you look at 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul talks about how we're all part of the body of Christ, and some are an ear, and some are an arm, and some are a leg. If we were all arms, how would we see? If we're all legs, how would we all hear? The fact that we have diversity of talents in our life is actually a blessing. The problem comes in, right, when we start comparing our talents with somebody else's talents. That's where we fall short, is it not? And it not only falls short in people, but it also falls short in churches. I'll never forget, it was, about 7 years ago. I had graduated with a friend of mine at seminary, and he went off and became a church planter also, like me. And we kept in contact, and I remember talking to him one time, and he said, oh, I'm so excited. I said, why are you excited, Lord? Or why are you excited? He said, He said, well, we've decided that we're going to buy this piece of property. It's real close to our community. It's going to work perfectly. It's got a building on it. I said, wow, that sounds great. And he says, and Sunday we had a person come to our congregation so excited about buying this building, he gave us the whole entire amount. I said, you're kidding me. How much money? He told me how much money I was. He said, you're kidding me. He said, just want to call, let you know. He hung up. Thank you for sharing that with me. I appreciate it so much. And I got a little bit jealous, right? I got a little bit jealous. Lord, why in the world would you do that to that congregation? You're not doing it to my congregation. Folks, that's a sin. That is a total sin. Because God doles out talents as he sees fit. He doles out people and congregations as he sees fit. It took me a while, but then I stopped and I thought about it. And I said, well, now wait a minute. I've got incredible leadership in this congregation. There are people that if you give them something to run with, they take it to the nth degree, and they are phenomenally wonderful people. And then I looked at all of you and I said, you know, this is a really great congregation. There's so many good, wonderful, fantastic people that I get to associate with. And the more I thought about it and started looking at all the blessings that God had given, I actually came to the conclusion that we're probably a five-talent congregation. We have been blessed with so much, so much. And over the last, 7 to 10 years, I'm actually convinced that of all the congregations out there, we're probably a five-talent congregation. We have so much resources. We have so many people that are great leaders. It's just, you look on Sunday morning and say, yeah, there's a lot of stuff here. It's awesome. It's awesome, and you truly are. I'm grateful to be here and to be a part of it. But that's not everything that's in this parable. Part B is this. God expects us to grow whatever gifts he's given us. God expects us to grow whatever gifts he's given us. Listen again to verse 26. You wicked servant and slothful servant, give to the one that has 10 and put this man in prison where there is weeping and gnashing. Now, folks, this is serious business. Jesus isn't mincing words here, is he? He's not saying, oh, you tried, so I'm so sorry, but you need to just try better next time. No. God doesn't do that at all. God says, take the talent away from that one and give it to the guy who's going to do something with it and put this guy in prison. Folks, that is a very, very challenging and horrifying proposition. When God gives you a talent in your personal life, he expects you to use it. Whatever God has blessed you with, you need to understand what he's blessed you with and use that talent in his service. Now, we live in the United States, right? So we know all about trying to maximize our full potential. We know that if we do that, that if, you know, in capitalism, 9 times out of 10, that if we do what we're good at and we work hard at it, right, we're going to succeed as the world thinks we're going to succeed, and we're going to have, you know, all the things that we need in this life because we're doing exactly what we're gifted to do, and that we understand. And I pray that God gifts you with things and that you understand how you can use those gifts in the service of God. But folks, the same is true for this church and this congregation. If this truly is a five-talent congregation, are we living at a five-talent level? If we're truly a congregation that God has richly blessed with so many things, are we turning around and changing, taking those blessings and using it to increase the kingdom of God in the world around us? And as I look, I'd have to say, I'm not so sure. You know, I woke up this morning and I was in a great place. But there are people, if you were to draw a circle around our congregation, or maybe look at the people that are in your life that you work with or play with or school with, I can guarantee you that there are people that woke up this morning and they were in fear, they were in anxiety, they were worried about where the next meal is going to come from, They were worried about how they're going to make the next car payment. They were worried about stress at work. Maybe somebody just woke up this morning and the person that they had lived with, you know, their spouse, you know, now the spouse is gone and this person is now trying to live a new life without a spouse. There are so many needs and hurts in the world around us. And the question I have for us this morning is, what are we doing about it? Are we really following the Savior and saying, what can we do as Christ through the veil to expand our kingdom, to expand God's influence in their life? John said in John 10, Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. How many of the people of our world around us woke up this morning and say, yeah, I'm living the abundant life? How many people woke up and went out and looked at the sunrise and said, yeah, my God created that sunrise. And my God loves me. And my God cares for me. And it doesn't matter about work or money or health or anything like that, because I'm a child of the living God, and he loves and he cares for me. And that's really, at the end of it, all that really matters. How many people do we know that truly feel that? And what is this church doing to share that message with the world around us? And I don't know the answer to that. And I can't really blame you. In some respects, I blame me. And this is a moment of confession for me. But as some of you know, I wasn't always a pastor. I was in a different career. What you may not know about that different career is that I was in two businesses that started very, very small. In one case, it was two people. In another case, it was one person. And both these businesses grew to very, very large businesses. And when it was small, you know, we all knew each other, and we would all go do stuff together, and life was good. And then as you start adding people and stress and all that sort of thing, pretty much this thing that was small and intimate and beautiful grows to this big, huge entity that has to be fed. And both times in my life, when it got to the point where it was so huge that it almost became unmanageable, it all fell apart, and I was crushed by it. Crushed. You know, I thought, I'm living the dream and life is good, but it wasn't that case. You know, you grow to a certain point and then all of a sudden something happens and it all falls down. So when I went to the seminary, this was my prayer to God. This is almost embarrassing to say. God, I don't want a big congregation. I'm done with big. Lord, just give me a small congregation in the middle of Kansas, 20 people max. Let me go and be their pastor. I'll just be so excited. But God didn't do that, did he? You ain't in Kansas anymore. Amen, sister. He put us here for this time and in this place. And if you really read this parable, if you spend time with God out watching the sunset saying, God, what is this parable saying to me today? It's saying, you have a five-talent church. And they're not really acting like a five-talent church. They need to see a vision, to gather around that vision and do what I've called them to do in this place. You are not to stay with your talent hidden in the ground. Your sphere of influence and your joy and your compassion needs to expand much farther than what you've done. Folks, that's a scary thing. But that's what God's called us to do. Now, a lot of people say, I don't want to change. I like it the way it is. Yeah, me too. Thank you so much. But sometimes we have to make a change because God calls us to make a change. Sometimes we have to make a change so that we can take the talents that he's given us and use it to share with the world around us like he's called us to. So that's part B. We've got to use the talents. Now, just saying, there will be failures, all right? Part of the thing about using a talent and pulling it out is that there is the possibility that you could lose it all, right? The guy with the five talents, the two talents, he invests it, maybe whatever he puts it in doesn't fall through, or maybe it falls through. That's a scary thing. You know, sometimes this church has tried stuff, and it's just been a horrible mess. I mean, you know, I know about, what, 3 or 4 years ago, we said, we're going to start another worship service, 11:30. You remember that one? That was a horrible mess. It was a terrible thing. But I learned a lot on that, okay? I learned a lot on that. So maybe it wasn't all lost. But the thing is, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to take risks, and sometimes the risks don't pay off. Churches don't like taking risks. Any organization doesn't like taking risks. But why should we be afraid of risks? I mean, God's the one doling out the 2 talents, the 5 talents. God's the one in charge. If he truly calls us together and says, I want you to go in this direction, there is no risk. And even if it doesn't appear like it works out in our standpoint, I guarantee you it works out in God's standpoint. It's a scary thing. Things change, but God's still in control. That's point B. And then point C. And this one is probably the most important point at all, and that's this, that at some level, all of us are slothful servants. At some level, all of us in our life, God has given us a gift, and we have not used that gift the way that God wants us to use it. God's given us a gift, and we've put it in the ground, and we said, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to take a risk. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to put it in the ground. And, you know, even when we think we're doing the right thing, we look back and we say, man, I should have done something different with what God had given me. But here's the beautiful thing. This parable actually comes when Jesus is talking about the end times. He talks about the end times, about how the bridegroom is coming back for the bride and we must be ready. And then he follows it with this parable about the 10 talents, about how while we're on this earth, we should use the gifts that God has given us. But we know that God's coming back again. We know that we are part of the kingdom of God. We know that even though sometimes we fail, our Jesus Christ, as it says in Philippians, humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. And then what happened to him? He buried that talent into the ground. And the devil thought he'd won. The devil said, man, look at that incredible talent. And it's in the ground buried, and I won. But on Easter Sunday, he rose again from the ground. And he shows us that that's not the end. He's redeemed all of our talents. He's redeemed all of our life. He lives in us. Even when we make mistakes, we are still part of the kingdom of God. And friends, that is something that we can cling to and hold on to and know with confidence. That no matter what path we go on, as long as we are in the kingdom of God, he will love us and keep us in his kingdom. So there you have it. 3 things out of this parable this morning. First of all, that God does not give out talents equally. And second, that God expects us to grow our talents, whatever gifts he's given us. And third, at some level, we've all abused the talents that he's given us, but Jesus has redeemed all of our talents. Folks, as we move forward as a congregation, I pray that you remember that. In Jesus' name, amen.